Yeah, very quickly, I'll just like to share something with us, which I believe is also is one of those things the Lord will be willing for us to know at this point in time, like especially this period that we are. And you know, we've had these statements times without number, you know, like this statement that the Lord is dwelling in us, or the Lord wants to dwell in us, you know, from time immemorial. This, like, the Lord is looking for a place to dwell. Hallelujah. And I know a lot of time we've had those kind of statements, but what does that really mean? And that is what we want to, you know, kind of look into this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So, but before then, we'll just read two scriptures, and then we would continue in the light of the scripture we're going to read. The first scripture we're going to read is Revelation 21, verse 3. Revelation 21, verse 3. Are we all there? So we're going to read it together. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God." Amen. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 24. Are we there? Let's read together. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth,
dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we read from verse 47 to 49. Are we all there? Acts 7, 47 to 49. Let's read together.
But Solomon built him a house, albeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne,
and the earth is my footstool. What house ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Amen. So the title of what we want to discuss is found in this Acts chapter 7, verse 49 that we've read. What house will you build me? What house will you build me? That is the question in the heart of the Father at this moment. What house will you build me? So we know, yeah, God does not dwell, as we've read in previous verses, God does not dwell in tabernacles made with hands, in temple made with hands. You know, but where does he dwell? It dwells inside of us.
Mm.
But now, there are specifications of the kind of house God wants to dwell in.
Mm.
He doesn't just want to come and dwell in any any house. There's a specification. That's why the question is, what house will you build me? What kind of house will you build me? So I want to encourage us this morning to please just follow thoroughly, because I believe the Lord will be unveiling some things to us and necessary steps we need to take as believers to for us to place ourselves and condition our mind and our heart, and for us to position ourselves to the category of house the Lord wants to dwell in. So the Lord wants to dwell somewhere, but there are specifications, the aspects of the kind of house God wants to. He doesn't just want to come and dwell anywhere. Now, when I said there are specifications, when we look throughout the scripture, whenever they wanted to build the physical tabernacle for God, the Lord actually gave them what he wants. Look at Moses. He said, this one must be this one long, 3,000 meters. This is what I want. This will be the altar court. So the Lord specifically wants a particular kind of house. And then you look at David also. There was a particular architectural plan that the Lord wanted, and that is what he gave to them. You know, this is what you should build. So they would have built anything then, and then expect God to come and do it. No. You know, and look at the temple that Solomon built for God. After building that temple, you know, there was a prayer Solomon made. You know, he said, anybody that faced, you know, when they wanted to do the inauguration of that temple, he said, anybody that faced this, the direction of Jerusalem and pray, that God, you know, will definitely respond to that person. And God put his stamp on that word, because where the temple that was built was according to, you know, what God wanted. So as believers also, though we are not building a physical house or tabernacle now, but there's a kind of house the Lord wants us to be. If we say we are temples of God, knowing not that your body is the temple of the Almighty or the Holy Ghost, if we know that our body is the temple of God, I tell you, there's a specification that the Lord wants in our as temples, as buildings, as tabernacles for him. So, and that is what we are going to see today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, Jesus gave us the blueprint, the kind of, you know, architectural plan of the house that the Lord wants to dwell. Matthew chapter 21 from verse, I'll read from verse 12 to 14. Matthew 21. From verse 12 to 14. It says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of money changers and the seat of them that sold those, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
From this scripture that we've read, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, showed us the kind of house that the Lord wants to dwell in. And from these three verses we read, there are three specification of house that the Lord wants to dwell in. And the first specification is in the verse 12. It says, and Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and seats of them that sold doves. The first kind of house that the Lord wants to dwell and inhabit is the house of purity. A house that is clean. A house that is free from all forms of filthiness. A house that is purified. Look at the categories of people in the temple of God in this scripture. The temple of God is a place of worship, right? It's a place where they were to worship God. They were to seek his face. They were to gather there and, you know, sing praises to him. Hold a thanksgiving service unto God, you know, just to worship him, to honor him. But look at the categories of people that were found there. Those that buy and sell. Those that, you know, money changers. Those that sold those. And that is why we look at the redemptive work that the Lord does for us. You know, when God calls somebody, when somebody makes up his mind and says, oh, today I want to surrender my life to God, you know, Lord, I'm tired of this thing. The first thing the Lord does to that person is to cleanse him. Is to wash him, you know, wash him with the blood. Cleanse him from all forms of impurities, from all forms of uncleanliness. These things, these categories of people that were in this temple serves as defilement to the house of God. So the Lord could not dwell there. There was nothing going on here. Did you see? There was nothing going on there. The temple turned into a marketplace. That is the situation of some of us in this time. You know, our mind, our soul, our body is marketplace, you know. Spirit just enter and come at any time. Buying and selling are going on there. You know, the exchanging things, different kind of thoughts, imaginations. They are there just dwelling in the mind of God, in the house of God, where God's supposed to dwell. Money changers, they turn the truth of God to lie, you know. When we receive the word of God, we find that it does not stay there. We receive the word today, by tomorrow we've forgotten. The word of God, with the number of years we've been receiving it, does not make impact in our lives. There's no changes. It's as a result of some unclean, you know, unclean spirit and defiling spirit inside the house of God. So the first house that the Lord wants to dwell in is the house that is pure. A house that is clean. A house that does not have any form of impurity. God does not stay where there's uncleanness. Anything that defiles, the Lord does not want anything to do with it. He does not want anything to do with it. If you remember when Balaam and Balak, you know, wanted to curse the children of God, they could not curse them because they were the children of God. The Lord had a purpose for them. Nobody could curse them. But one thing that Balaam saw, he said, defy them. The Lord will leave them. And what happened? They brought the daughters of Moab to defy the camp of God. And that was when they had access to the children of Israel. An impure house give access to the works of the devil in our lives. A house that is not pure, a house that is not clean, you know, makes God just stay back. Makes God just watch from afar because he cannot dwell there. Look at the example of that the Lord Jesus gave. He said, when you cast a demon out of a person and then you do not fill that house, you know, you don't fill that particular mind with you know, anything, you just leave it clean and sparkling and everything, he says the demon will come back and come and check, you know, what's there. Well, there's nobody. He said, we'll go back and bring seven more stronger than he to come and dwell there. The kind of house that the Lord wants to dwell in is the house of purity, a pure house. A house that, you know, that there's no form of defilement. So a lot of time today, we cry, oh God, you know, dwell in me, do this. And God is saying, I want to dwell in you, but there are a lot of impurities inside of you. And that is why he said, I will sit. He said, I will sit like what? Like a refiner. Like a refiner's what? Or how did the scripture put it?
Fire and fire. Soup.
Refiner's fire. And a refiner of gold.
A refiner of gold, yeah. So the Lord wants to sit and, you know, dwell. He wants to clean everything that speaks of impurity. And that is why the blood of Jesus is efficient. You know, that is why the blood is in the picture. You know, a lot of time we just see the blood as, okay, Jesus shed his blood. There's a reason why the blood is in the picture. When we look at the plan of the redemptive work, everything that took place, there's a significance of those things. The cross, there's a significance. The blood, there's a significance. The flesh that was destroyed, there was a significance. Everything that took place, there was a pointer to something. And so when we talk about the blood of Jesus, this is one of the pointer. The blood was shed that it might purify us. That will cleanse us. That will cleanse every form of impurity from the house of God. So when Jesus came to the temple, that was the first thing he saw. He said, no. Oh my God, this is not supposed to be. So what did he do? He went straight into action. Cast them out, you know. Cast those spirits out. Spirit that makes the word of God ineffective. Spirit that brings the people of God down. You know, they are monitoring spirit there. Imagine the temple of God. You bring your cow, your ram, and your goat, and they are pooping in the house of God. You know, you are selling. Come and buy in the house of God. Which is not supposed to be. But Jesus casted them out. And then the second kind of house that the Lord wants to dwell in is in the verse 13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
But ye have made it a den of thieves. The second kind of house is the house of prayer. So you can't achieve this house of prayer if the house of purity is not in place. So it's step by step. When the house is pure, you'll be able to pray. Because God is dwelling and God is giving body. Now, when you say a house of prayer does not... I'm not talking about, you know, a devotional life or that kind of thing. Yes, it's part of it, but that is not the emphasis. When he says my house will become a house of prayer, it means you will carry the spirit of prayer. You know, we can be doing devotion and it can turn to a religious tradition. You know, just say, I've done my devotion, thank God I pray, and then, you know, in the morning, 5 a.m, you all read the scripture and then you do. I say, thank God I've done my devotion. No, that is not what God is saying. Morning rituals, you know. Let's just devotion. It can turn into a routine and is of no effect. But what the Lord is saying here is that you will carry the spirit of prayer. The spirit of a watchman.
Amen.
The spirit of intercessors. He said, I looked and I looked for a man who will stand in the gap. A man who will stand in the gap is not doing devotional rituals. No. This is man that is consistent with with the affairs of the heaven. He's like the newscaster on earth. You know, he knows what is going on and he prays it on earth. This is the house of prayer that God is talking about. So, but before the house of prayer can be achieved, the house must be clean. So when we see ourselves not, you know, when the spirit of prayer is not taking us over, when we find it hard, when we see that there are struggles to just, you know, wait and pray. You know, pray to God. Then we know that there's a defilement in the body. There's a defilement in the house. Because of these people selling those, prayer was not going on again. Everybody was distracted. Imagine somebody wants to raise, we give glory to the Lord, and then somebody say, hey, ram, this ram has been kept for 25 years. It's strong, it's solid, it's this. And be like, wait now, keep, no, come and buy the ram. There's distraction, there's confusion everywhere. So a person, the body, the house that carries the spirit of prayer is a house that is clean.
Hallelujah.
A house that is clean. Because you know the mandate too. So, and when we talk about prayer, it's not limited to gathering. You know, when we gather, there may be grace, you know, to pray. But individually, are we taking up the mantle of prayer?
Mm.
Are we serving as the house of prayer? Is God putting burdens in our hearts to pray? If burdens are not coming, then there's a problem. The house is impure. The house is not clean. There's a distraction. There's a short door, because those spirits occupying the house have locked every door of receiving. They've blocked every channel. So you are just there. You know, we don't know what's going on. We don't have the understanding of the time. We don't understand what's going on. We don't follow the crowd. If people say this is what is going on, you know, the yet we follow. If they change their mind, we follow. Where are you standing? Where are you? What if someone asks, what is God saying at this time? Are we able to say something? Are we able to say yes? You know, I've been praying for some time. This is what the Lord revealed to me. This is what the, if you are not able to say that, then there's a problem. There's a problem. So, first the house of purity, and then the house of prayer. There's a transition there. You know, if the house is not pure, you can't pray. You can't carry the spirit of prayer. The spirit, you know, the spirit of the Lord is the spirit of truth. The defiling spirit in the house, they are lies. They are spirit of lies. So how will truth and lies stay? They can't stay. He said, what is the relationship between light and darkness? One has to be there. Is it that light or truth? Is it that the spirit of God or every other form of spirit? This is the kind of house. What house will you build for me? And Jesus Christ is giving us the specification of the kind of house God wants to build. Amen.
Amen.
And then the third house is in verse 14. It says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. This is the house of power.
Amen.
Amen. The third house is the house of power. So look, let's look at the transition. Yeah. First, the house of purity. Then it says the house of prayer. And then it says what? The house of power. This is where the blind, the lame, you know, they came and they received their healing. As believers, the Lord wants our life to be attractive. They are blind and they are lame people in the earth. Amen. Blind to the thing. He said the prince of this world has blinded their eyes. You know, people are crippled by sin. They are lame. They are crippled by all forms of addiction. But God has placed me and you as a solution. If we say we are the temple of God, the temple of God is where people should come and receive their solution. Now imagine, before, when they were buying and selling, nobody could receive healing. Because it's buying and selling, it's market. They were not praying. But until Jesus cleansed, sent them out, now said, okay, we want to pray. Then the blind and the lame say, yeah, prayer is going on now. Yeah, let's go. And they went and they were healed. So our lives as temples, as tabernacle where God dwells, should be attractive. Because God has placed us here as a solution.
That's That's right.
He has placed us here for a specific purpose. If our lives are not attractive to people, if we can't render help to people in their blind state or in their lame state, then there's also a problem. The blind and the lame, they came and they were healed. Why? Because the house is a house of power. So, if these things are not happening in our lives, if these things are not showing forth in our lives, then we need to check. We need to go back. And that is why, you know, earlier on I said this is a time of a reflection. Let's take advantage of this time. You know, this period that everybody is at home, let's sit down and seek the face of God and ask him, Lord, you know, let's just scan me. Just stay there and let God scan us and point to us what is going on. What are the things that are not supposed to be there? Let's take some time out to pray and, you know, let God cleanse us. Because this after what Christ did, this is what the temple started fulfilling the purpose by which it was built. The purpose why the temple was built was that people will come. People that are, you know, oppressed, sick. You know, they will come and they will receive their healing. They will go. Look at the tabernacle back then. When you go to the temple, it means you want to go and be cleansed. You want to go and ask for God. You want to be free from everything that is troubling you. You don't go to the temple to go and buy ram. But it changed. As the transition happened, it changed. And they started buying things, selling those, you know, selling false things. You know, the devil speaks false things to our mind. Speak false things to us. And when he speaks false things, we are not able to pray. We don't even know what's going on. When we speak for, because we can't pray, we are not a solution. People come to us and say, ah, brother, this is what that. He say, ah, Baba, I'm there. Can you imagine? You know, he said, sister, you know, I'm going through this thing. You know, I don't know what to do. He said, my brother, it's not only you. You know, I'm also going through this thing. God will help us. That is not what God wants. That is not what he wants. People come to you and say, brother, I'm going through this thing. I'm going through this. Say, my brother, there's a solution. This is what God wants. We're able to render help. You know, people that are crippled with a lot of things that they cannot overcome, we're able to lift them up from their state of lameness and they are upright again. Our house should be attractive. The house of God should be attractive. It should attract people. It should not send them back. Because they were selling there, he sent the blind and the lame back. He sent them back far away. Say, let's just stay. Say, we pray that there will be changes in this temple. And people remain. Can you imagine the man of by the pool of Bethesda was there for 38 years? Bethesda, very close to the temple, there was nothing. The angel of God come and say, you know, to steer the pool. If the temple has been effective, people will not go to the pool of Bethesda to go and wait for the angel to come and steer the water. But because the temple has turned to another thing, tax collectors everywhere, you know, with altars, unnecessary altars in the house of God everywhere, servicing the altar, and then the individual cannot pray. You are not attractive. When they want to seek solution in the house of God, they can't come to you because they say they know you have nothing to offer. The house of power. That is the kind of house the Lord wants. That is the kind of house the Lord wants. So these are the specification of the house that God's dwelling. Number one, the house that is pure. Number two, the house that is the house of prayer. The house of prayer. The house carrying the spirit of prayer. And number three, the house of power. The house that has been, you know, bestowed with virtues and is ready to release anytime people come asking. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So when we talk about all these things, you know, we've seen the specification, the kind of house God wants to dwell in. But how do we come into this estate? How do we come into this kind of house? How do we enter into this house? You know, how do we build up ourselves after this manner? That our house, the where God dwells, our body, our temple, our mind, our soul, is the house of, you know, is a pure house, is a house of prayer, is a, you know, a house of power. We're going to see a story in the scriptures, and then we'll see what this particular person or group of people did to make themselves useful, to make themselves available, to make themselves, you know, to build themselves after the manner of the kind of house the Lord wants to dwell in. Amen. So how do we come into this estate? How can our house become a house of purity? How can it become a house of prayer? How can it become a house of power? How can we, you know, position ourselves? How can we achieve this kind of estate? Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, I'm going to read from the, I'll read from the beginning to the end, and then we'll see what the Lord, you know, has for us there. Daniel chapter 1 from verse 1 to 21. It says, in the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hands, and with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuch, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and the king's seed, and of the princes. I'll read that again. It said, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of wine, which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and unto Ananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested that the prince of the eunuch, that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face worse, than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh
than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. First, Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulps. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king Cyrus. Amen. So, like I said, how do we come into this estate, you know, of a house that is clean, a purified house, a house of prayer, and a house, you know, of power, a house that is attractive? And here, in the book of Daniel, the Lord gives us, you know, a blueprint of how to come into this estate, what we need to do. And like the scripture said, you know, the scripture described the things that happen in the Old Testament as a shadow of things to come. Mm. So everything, every story, everything that has happened has a point. There's something it is pointing to. Mm. There's something it is, you know, pointing our attention to. It is set for example. And so from the story of Daniel, we are going to see what the Lord expects of us, how we need to come into this estate. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we know this story very well. The Lord actually took the children of Israel to Babylon, you know, allowed Nebuchadnezzar to ravage their land. And then they captured the children of Israel. And in Babylon, then Nebuchadnezzar, when he has had history of the children of Israel, he knows there are children that the nations of the earth could not reckon with, because their ways are totally different. He has heard of skills, you know. He has heard of stories of how they built temples, you know. He's heard of how skillful they are in art and craft, how the Lord has blessed them with all forms of skills that no earth has seen before. He has heard of the sons of Issachar that had the understanding of the times. He heard of the sons of Judah, the tribe of Dan, the Benjamites. You know, he had those stories and was like, oh my God, you know, select me some children. You know, I want to put them under in my affairs. I want to test their skill. But all these things Nebuchadnezzar was doing, it was all God that was orchestrating things. Mm. Because the Lord wants to make himself known in Babylon. Mm. Though the children of Israel are serving punishment, but nevertheless, there's a purpose why he has sent them there. And he wants to make himself known to the nations of the earth. Mm. So the children of Israel were there, but there were four categories there are four people, four young men, in which they are among these selected people. But before then, look at the description of that Nebuchadnezzar gave in verse 3. He says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuch, that he should bring certain. Certain means peculiar, you know, special, not just any children of it, certain, you know, of the children of Israel. And of the king's seed. The king's seed. So, they are not just anyhow Israelites or anyone who are Israel. No, there is a specification. We are all king's seed. Amen.
Amen.
We are chosen people. First Peter said, you're a peculiar nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. This is our description here.
We are what? Of the king's seed. The king, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, we are of his seed. Christ came from Melchizedek. And being joint as we can, we are also from Melchizedek. We are from the loins of the Father. So we are king's seed. And of the princes. We are all princes on earth. Amen.
Amen.
So we need to understand this. But let's continue. It said, children with no blemish. You know, if we claim that we are from the loins of the Father, we are of the king's seed, then why will our house be impure? Why would there be defilement? Why would there be impurities in the house of God? Well favored. Are we not favored by God? We are. We are well favored by God. We are skillful in wisdom. The seven spirit of God. The spirit of wisdom. You know, cunning knowledge. And understanding science. The spirit of understanding. These are attributes that we inherited from our Father. Because we are obviously, we are a seed, right? So, you know, when they say we are all born of a parent and we take some traits of our parents,
that's,
you know. Right. So, if we are of the king's seed, so these are the attributes that we possess as believers. But let's see. It says, and such that had the ability to stand in the king's palace, there's boldness to stand. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. You know, of love. And whom they might teach, you know, the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, gathered this specification of children. You know, he pointed to his servants that these are the kind of children I want. I want to teach them the ways of Babylon. No. And then the king appointed them daily provisions of king's meat and wine, which he drank, so nourishing them for 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So there was a 3 year span of feeding them, teaching them. But something happened. He said, among these children, there were four. Daniel.
Children.
Of these children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of Judah gave names, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they made up their mind. They proposed in their hearts that they will not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So now there is a problem here. Though Daniel knows that though we are in captivity, we are serving the punishment because we failed God. But as children of Israel, as children of God, we should not defile ourselves. But this meat and this drink this man wants to feed us is a meat that is served unto idols. You know, they were in Babylon. Babylon is a form of the world today. We're in the world. And the world are feeding people with a lot of defiling things. With a lot of food that defile them. You know, but Daniel made up his mind. He said no. Yes, in the tribe of Judah, we are not to eat food sacrificed unto idols. This portion of king's meat, this provision that Nebuchadnezzar is giving is a full sacrifice unto idol. If I eat it, I will be defiled. So, despite Daniel in captivity, despite the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in captivity, they still want to keep the estate in which God has placed them. They still had the determination to keep that estate. They were not, even when other children say, yes, no manna again, or no bread, that there's no yeast, you know, see meat. See, this Babylon, they are enjoying, you know. And then the king brought, and they were feeding themselves, defiling themselves. Daniel knew. He said, if I do this, I will defile myself. I will defile myself. So, he said, don't give me the portion of giving. Give me pulse and water. Vegetable. when you look at the meaning of that pulse and water, the meaning, see, it means something that was sown.
Hmm.
Something that was sown. And if you want to look at the scripture for the interpretation of that, it speaks specifically of the word of God.
Hmm.
How is it the word of God? Remember the parable of the sower? He said the kingdom of God is like unto a man, you know, that went and started sowing seed. You know, and when Jesus gave the interpretation, he said the seed is the word of God. When it lands on the good ground, it brings forth fruit. But when it lands on a defiled mind, a heart with thorns, you know, where beds are, where a lot of things, they will not grow. So looking at that parable. That parable is just a interpretation to what was going on here. So Daniel said, "Give me vegetable. I want to feed on the word of God." As believers, one of the ways we can come to this estate of the kind of house that the Lord wants us to be is feeding on his word.
Mm.
Feeding on the seed, the word of God that was sown. The other children, they were ready to feed on Babylonish food. Their appetite was turned from the ways of God to the Babylonish appetite. Are we finding ourselves in that same state today? Do we have interest in the things of the world? Do we have interest in the things, you know, the world offers us? Do we have interest in the Babylonish food, the worldly food that they offer us today? If we have interest in it and we have been partaking of it, it's a defilement to our soul and our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a defilement to our body. It is not something we should take in. If truly we are of the king's seed, we should not defile ourselves there. So Daniel made up his mind. He said, "I will still continue to feed on the word of God."
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people here take this as diet. It's not diet. You know, take it as they say, if I eat vegetable, I do. We are not talking about that now. We are not talking about diet that we eat. We are talking about the kind of life the Lord wants us to live. A life that is solely dependent on Christ. That is solely dependent on the word of God. A life that is ready, that is willing to, you know, take in the word of God. So Daniel and his friends, they made up their mind. He said, "We are not going to defile." Look at the word Daniel used, to defile myself. There's nothing wrong if you eat meat now. But how is it defiling to him? Because they know the estate. They knew the purpose why which... He said, "Yeah, we are serving, you know, punishment here, but there's also a reason why God has brought us here. So I don't want to defile myself. I don't want to eat food sacrifice unto idol." Daniel is an example of somebody you can say the law of God was written in his heart. The Lord said, "I will write my laws upon their heart." Daniel is an example of people like that. Irrespective of where they find themselves, they did not forget. They did not forget. You know, they used to make this proverb, say, a river that forgets its source will not happen. It will dry up. Daniel did not forget his source. He knows we are chosen. Our nation is a chosen nation, but I'm not going to do this. So he proposed in his heart not to defile himself. Rather, I will feed on the word of God. I propose in my heart not to look at what the world is offering. I'll rather look at what the word of God is offering me. I'll rather focus on what the word of God is saying. I will stay and eat of the word of God, drink of the water, the living water, the water that quenches all thirst. The water of life, I will drink of it. So Daniel made this determination. And the Enoch was afraid. He said, "Look, they will kill me." He said, "Test us."
Hmm.
You know, this is where the Lord brings a difference from between people who have readily made up their mind to, you know, feed on the word of God, and to compare to people who are eaten up by whatever the world offer them. He said, "Gather unto me all saints."
Yeah.
But saints that does what?
That have made sacrifice.
So there is saint that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. So they are saints, but they are saints that have made covenant with God by sacrifice. So this is where the Lord brings a distinction. You know? He said, test us. Test us. 10 days. Just give us 10 days. Give us this thing that we asked and see. So he said, okay, let's go. Just for 10 days. After 10 days, if it does not work, you eat the portion of the king's meat. Say yes. And then they tried it. So they are testing. Our testing period is a time that God, you know, he we should not see it as a time to murmur, to groan, or to complain. It's a time where the Lord is building. You know, the Lord is a time where the Lord is building us, is making us, is molding us, you know, shaping us into what He wants. So Daniel said, test us 10 days. So what happened? After 10 days, what happened to them? At the end of 10 days, what happened? Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. How? Someone eating vegetable and water compared to somebody eating meat, drinking wine, you know, berries, blueberry, blackberry, every berry, red berry, all the different thing that is on the king's table, compared to somebody eating vegetable. And that is what the word of God does. The word of God changes our countenance. It changes our appearance. It makes us that attractive kind of person, that attractive house that we want, that the Lord wants. It changes us. That is why he said the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life.
Right.
When we feed on the word of God, we're able to, you know, interact with the spirit of the word. There's a change. We are not the same person that we used to, we will not be the same person that we used to be. There's a transformation that occurs because we've given ourselves, you know, to the word. We've given ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith, you know, is on Christ. We are not looking at anything except Christ Jesus. We are not ready to focus our mind. We are not distracted by anything. Our focus, our mind, our heart dispensation is towards God. Definitely, there will be a transformation. So after 10 days, there was a transformation. Daniel was more butter than the people eating meat. Even though they were slaves. But there was a difference. There was a transformation. To enter that estate of becoming the house the Lord wants, He wants us to eat of His word. We should not defile ourselves with what the word offers. We are in a Babylon of a kind. The word is a Babylon. When we talk about Babylon, every time we want to talk about trust system. No, that's not what we are saying this time. That's not what we are saying this time. The world currently is a form of Babylon. You know, it is what we eat, that's what we become. It is what we give ourselves to, that's what we will become. So, Daniel made up his mind. He said, I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. So he made up his mind not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And he said, test us 10 days. And there was a transformation. Where we are currently, the world will offer us a lot of things. But it's our sole responsibility, knowing the estates that we are, knowing the place we have come from, not to defile ourselves. There was a scripture that was where it said, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. For darkness will cover the people, and gross darkness, the nations of the, and gross darkness the people. Somebody who is going to allow the defilement, you know, by the portion of the king's meat, will definitely enter into the category of the nations and the people who are covered in darkness. Let's continue. So he said, verse 17, he said, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Because Daniel decided to hold his estate, to keep his estate, he decided to make, you know, his estate known that I'm not defiling myself. I'm not going to, you know, partake in this feasting that these people are doing. Look at what happened. The Lord gave them knowledge and skill in all learning, wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You can now see that the Lord is actually working on something. The Lord knows that, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, you have a dream one time. You will dream, and you'll be looking for interpreter everywhere. But I have somebody which I've prepared. So the Lord has prepared us for a specific purpose here in this earth, in this land. He has prepared us for a specific purpose. We may not know it now, but ours is to feed on the word of God. Ours is our portion is not to defile ourselves. Let the Lord work on us as we feed on the word of God. Let him give us, let him empower us, let him impute himself in us, just as these four people did. He said, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince, after 3 years, and the prince of the inner brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. So after everything, there's a place of testing, you know, a place of knowing, a place of let me see those people who are truly, you know, who are worthy. And then out of all the people that were gathered, despite all the feeding, you know, the world has nothing to offer. We should know that.
That's right.
The world has nothing to offer. Babylon, in regards to the current world we are, it has nothing to offer to us. It has nothing to offer. After the whole feeding of 3 years, with the portion of the king's meat, the wine and everything, it's four people who ate vegetable that were much more better in wisdom, in skill, not only in appearance, in wisdom, in the way they bring solution to things, in the way they talk, in their manner of approach, in things they do. Just four people that were better. They were far, far better than every other. He said they were 10 times better. 10 times better. So, I mean, those people that ate and defiled themselves, there was no place for them in the king's realm. Only Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the ones found worthy. Why? Because they made up their mind. We want to be that house that God wants to dwell in, that house that God wants to, you know, inside, the house of purity, the house of prayer, the house of power. We say, yes, God, I have a purpose, you know, but are we aligning ourselves? So we know that we have a purpose here on earth, but that purpose will not be fulfilled if we don't keep our estate as the king's seed, as the seed that will not, you know, allow anything to defile them, as princes, you know, as children of God, coming out of the loins of God. So this is what the Lord, this is the solution God has preferred. Go and learn from Daniel. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. What is the current estate of our mind? What are we thinking in the mind? Okay, let me, you know, this word, we can just flow with it. You know, he said, when you are in Rome, behave like the Romans. Not in this case. If you behave like the Romans in this case, you will be out of the picture. Not in this case. The word will eat you up. The other children were taken over by the king's portion, and they lost their estate. The wisdom was no more there. They don't eat chop. They forgotten. The knowledge was no more there. When the king was talking, they were just saying OP, saying rubbish. And the king was like, wait, I thought these people were of the king's seed. How come? What happened? Say, no. Until when it came to the time of Daniel Shadrach, I said, yeah, these ones are different. four of them, they made a mark. The Lord is looking for those people too, who will make a mark. And how are we going to make a mark? The word of God. We make up our mind not. He said, you know, let the world do its own, just give me Jesus. Let the world be on its own, just give me Christ. Just give me the word. Give me the word. I want to, you know, eat of this word. Just give me the vegetable and the water. It's enough. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of the soul and spirit. You know, is the knower of thoughts, intent and thoughts. You know, that is the description of the word. He said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their oppression. So, what does the word have, the world have to offer, and what does the word of God have to offer? Let's look at it. Let's compare. Let's see. Vanity is... Look at the current state of things now. Nobody knows solution. Everyone is confused.
What is
inside? All the government, you know, all the G20 meeting, they're doing inside their sitting room. Nobody dares goes out. But God has placed the church as a solution. It is this point the church needs to come up. You know, every situation on earth, God has always placed the church.
That's right.
To, you know, to provide the solution.
Mm.
And that's why the church should know their estate.
Mm.
Now, the church cannot provide solution because they've defied themselves with a portion of the king's meat.
Mm.
That's why you see, I saw video. Say, no, the church is not to provide this thing for you, it's the government. You know, a old man of God saying that. It speaks a lot. It speaks that the church does not know what God wants for them at this time. But a church that knows their position, that knows their place, that have the understanding that truly, I'm here for a purpose. The Lord has placed me here for a purpose. This is the time for us to arise. Why is it that it is when darkness and gross darkness is covering people, that's when God says arise.
That's
right. Shine. Why is it there? Why not when things are going on we can shine? No. Because it's always in the plan of God that when the earth is about to submit, there are people who will lead the earth to me. They are vessels, they are servants which are placed that they will lead the earth to me. They will bring them, they will teach them the ways of God. Did Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teach the Babylonians the way of the Lord?
No. Sorry, yes.
Yes, they taught the king. After it got to a point, the king said, anybody that not serve the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, we will kill them.
Yeah.
The king became a fanatic for God because these people, they held their estate from the beginning. He said, and Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. When the Lord went out, you know, don't worship, don't pray. Daniel prayed. They threw him to the lions, then God made himself man. And the king said, Daniel, has the Lord your God saved you? Daniel said, my king, I'm here. He has saved me. Say, what? No, your God is the true God. Take him out. Throw the other people inside. Throw them. Another portion, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, if anybody does not bow to this image, will be thrown into the fire. Eat it 7 times, you know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we are not going to bow our knees. They've already set their mind to a default state that anything that happens, if it's going to defile us, we'll rebel against it. That's the estate of their mind. It happened the first time, they did it. And that time it happened, they did it. So their mind has just in that default state. Anything that defile me, I'm not going to let it. They refused to bow. They threw them into the furnace. The people trained them died, but they did not die. They came out. Smoke was not smelling on their body, nothing. And they were kind of say, oh, God. No, no, no. He said, Lord. He cried out, Lord.
He confessed.
He saw the first person. He said, the person there looks like the son of God. How did he come about that revelation? A people stood for God, and God was made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God wants for us. Amen. That is why what he is asking, what house will you build for me?
Mm-hmm.
Nebuchadnezzar? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. These people were the house that God was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Their house that was pure. You know, there was no defilement there. They prepared themselves as a house that was pure. You know, they were house of prayer. Daniel prayed. We can read the story of Daniel. He prayed. He prayed to them, said that he knew the time they were to leave captivity. He knew that time, and he saw that they were still. He cried to God, said, God, why? You said the 70 years. We are in the 73rd year. How come? What's going on? It was the house of, he carried the spirit of prayer. These people carried the spirit of prayer in them. They were the house of power. When Babylon was confused, when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he could not interpret. He was confused. He said, if you cannot interpret this, I will kill you. He was telling his herbalist and all these astrologers, all of them, all these magicians, if you can't interpret this dream, I dreamt but I forgot the dream. And they said, go, king, how will you dream? You forget. You said I should come and tell you what you dreamt and interpret it. He said, no. Daniel could do that. They were the house of power, a house of solution. Nebuchadnezzar was blind. You know, he was blind. He could not see the dream. He could not remember. Daniel opened his eyes and said, this, king, this is what the Lord is saying. You are this, you know, look, that staff, you are the head of gold, you are this. This is what will happen. That is the house God wants. That is the house God wants. It's the house God wants. And what are we going to do? What is required of us? Let's give ourselves to the word of God. Daniel said, give me pulse to eat and water to drink. Just give us 10 days. 10 days. 10 days and see. And after 10 days, there was a transformation. Jesus is the answer today. He's the answer. The word of God is the answer. And for us to come into this estate, my brothers and sisters, there's nothing else that any man can do except feeding on the word of God.
Right.
Giving ourselves to the study of the word, praying, seeking God's face, knowing the mind of God. If Daniel had not given himself to the word of God, he would not know that he was of the king's seed. He would not have known that, well, I should not defile myself. This is a foreign land. Though God brought us here, but I should not be carried away. But because he has given himself to the laws of God was written in his heart. It was written in their hearts. They knew, they understand that in Babylon, yeah, we are going to captivity, but nevertheless, we are going to stand for God. And they stood. While other people defiled themselves with full sacrifice unto idols, Daniel stood and said, no. I will not take what the world is offering me. I will not take the world cannot even do anything. Everything is shut down. I'm not going to take what the world is offering me. I'm going to take what God is offering me, the word of God. I'm going to study the word. I'm going to look into the word of God. Because it is where I can receive a transformation. It is where I can it is where my countenance will change. This is where God, you know, shine his countenance upon us. It is through his word. What house will you build for me? What kind of house are you going to build for God? Is it a house that is defiled? Is it a house that is full of distraction? Is it a house that has lost its sense of purpose? Is it a house that does not know its left from right? The children of Israel, they turned the temple of God into a place of buying and selling. They said the people could not differentiate between Baal and God. They called Baal God, God Baal. God could not dwell amongst them. There was famine in the land. There was a lot of issue because the presence of God was not there. The house of God was defiled. But God raised Elijah, a saint who has made a covenant to God by sacrifice, to show the people. We are God's vessels that God wants to use. Let's be vessels of God unto honor. We are chosen. We are placed there for a purpose. We are like the Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this world. And the Lord wants us to keep our estate. The Lord wants us to be that house where we dwell. A house that is pure. A house of prayer. A house where we can profess solution to the problems of the world. When the world are in problem, they should be the one to run to us. We should not run to the government. We should not run to the world and seek help from God. We should not run to, they should run to us. And we'll show them the way of the Lord. We'll show them. He said, in that day, the people shall. He said, let us go to the mountain of God and be taught of God. We are going to teach the people. We are. The innocent spirit of the creature awaited the manifestations of the sons of God. The sons of God. We are the sons of God that should, you know, manifest and show the people the way.
Mm.
But to do that, we have to be this house that God wants. This specification of us, if we are not in that position, it will be very impossible for God to come and dwell there. The house has to be cleansed. Until Jesus sent those sellers away, the liars, until he cleared the house, until the house, he reminded the house of his estate, you are the house of prayer. That is when the blind, the lame, that is when they could come and be healed of God. We cannot and will not be able to fulfill the purpose by which God has brought us if we are not that house. If we are not the house of purity. If we are not the house of prayer.
Mm.
If we are not the house of power. We will just be there, just doing things. Mm. Just doing tradition. Yeah. Just, you know, doing the normal thing. And years will go on. But the Lord does not want that for us. He wants us to come into this estate. He wants us to be that house where he can dwell and he will make use of us. And that is why, you know, I gave this admonition earlier on that please let's take advantage of the time we are. Let's position ourselves. I believe this is the time where the Lord is choosing those who are faithful unto him. It's a time where God is selecting the saints that have covenanted themselves by sacrifice. This is the time where the elect have been, you know, highlighted. And the Lord is placing his mark upon them. This is an open window. This thing just don't just happen for happiness. There's a purpose. There's something God is doing in this period. And one of the ways we can enter and you know, and be aware and know what God is doing is when we give ourselves to him. Let's take, you know, opportunity of this time. Don't let us be distracted. Yes, there are a lot of, you know, deaths going on, but there's what the Lord wants us to do. There's something he's revealing to his church. And God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So that is what I have to share with us. I pray that God will grant us the grace to be the house he wants to dwell in the name of Jesus.
Amen.